voting members, Mr. Creeley, Mr. Curry, Mr. Joya, Mr. Maston, Ms. Therese, and Ms. Dillon. And the first item, is there anyone here in the audience who has information they'd like to give the Planning Commission that is not on the agenda? Not on the agenda. We normally don't have that, but our bylaws say that we should ask that question first. So I have done so. Given that, the first order of business that we have is we are currently without a vice chair. For those who weren't able to be at the last meeting, Ms. Rainey's term ended in the end of November. And she took a look at her personal situation and said, well, I like doing this, but it's not the right thing for me to do. And so she decided not to request another term. So we need to have a vice chair. Mr. Risley is not able to be here today, but he sent an email to me saying that he would be willing to serve. And so that's one person in nomination. Is there anyone else?
I'd be willing to do that.
Mr. Creeley?
Curry.
Someday I'm going to get that right, you know. And Mr. Joya?
I was pointing to
Mr. Creeley.
Thank you.
Any others?
I would move my nominations closed.
All right. The motion has been made.
Second.
Nominations be closed, and the motion was made by Ms. Therese, and the second was by Mr. Joya. With that, I'll go through the voting roll. Mr. Creeley.
At this point, Mr. Curry.
All right. Mr. Curry.
I'd be happy with either, but I'll vote for myself.
Okay. Mr. Joya.
I also would be happy with either. I'll vote for Mr. Curry.
Okay. And Mr. Maston.
Mr. Curry.
And Ms. Therese.
Mr. Curry.
And Ms. Dillon. And chair votes Mr. Risley, so Mr. Curry is our vice chair.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you all for your support.
So with that, we will begin first with the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to go through the minutes? Has anybody found anything that needs to be corrected? Hearing none, the minutes will be approved as presented. And with that, we will go to the report items.
Good morning, Mike Rebnar with Planning and Community Development. We'll start off with, can you zoom out a bit? Building permits, as you can see, the City of Colorado Springs had 75.7% of the residential building permits, with El Paso County at 15.1%. And when you look at the middle chart, you can see that we had 84 in the county and 420 in the city, with 243 of those being for multifamily units and 177 for single family units. Is there work? Can you zoom in a bit? Our workload review. We currently have 188 active C&D projects in the department. 82 of those are pending resubmittal, with 23 currently in review. You can see for the month of November, we have had 22 type C&D projects in the system. We have two consent items today, item 2C and 2D. 2C is a variance of use for the Woodman Hill Tower. 52 adjoining property owners were notified, six were in opposition, and It appears that they were opposed because they did not realize that the existing towers were being replaced, and I believe Nina handed out some additional information to you on that. 2D is a variance of use for the Falcon School Tower. 41 adjoining property owners were notified, four were in opposition, one was in favor, and two had no opinion. And again, it appears that they didn't realize that the existing towers were being replaced and that new structures weren't being set up. Includes the report items.
Thank you. The first item will be, does anyone need to have, would anyone like to have the Woodman Hills Tower taken off of the consent and heard as a regular item? Hearing no, nobody? Would anyone want the Falcon School Tower to take off of the consent and heard as a regular item? Since hearing none, then I will take motions for that. Mr. Joya?
Mr. Chair, as regards consent item number 2C, VA 17-005, the Woodman Hills Tower variance of use, I move for approval under the new standard resolution, page 51, with six conditions and three notations.
Second.
The second is Ms. Priest. Okay. Let me get the paperwork done here.
Just stop reading.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call through the roll. Mr. Creeley?
Aye.
Mr. Curry?
Aye.
Mr. Joya?
Aye.
Mr. Maston?
Aye.
Aye.
And Ms. Therese?
Aye.
And Ms. Dillon?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. The motion is approved. Moving to the next item, 2D.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
As regards item number 2D, file number VA 17-006, Falcon School Tower variance of use, I move for approval under the new standard resolution, page 51, with six conditions and three notations.
Second.
Thank you. So the motion has been made and seconded for item 2D, VA 17-006, variance of use for the Falcon School Tower with six conditions, for approval with six conditions and three notations. Any discussion?
Actually, yes. Mr. Chair, may I just say something real quick here?
Certainly.
I just wanted to thank the applicant for taking the time to reach out to all the people who were in opposition to this, to explain to them that it was just a replacing the towers that were already there with upgrades. I know this can be a major concern for a lot of our constituents, and glad to see that their fears were allayed, so.
Okay. Anybody else want to make any comments? Hearing none, we'll go through the vote. Mr. Joya?
Aye.
Mr. Creeley?
Aye.
Mr. Curry?
Aye.
Mr. Maston?
Aye.
Ms. Therese?
Aye.
Ms. Dillon?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. The motion is approved unanimously.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Procedurally, since these are both consent items, your other option to handle these is to just do one motion to approve the two items on the consent calendar. You can do it collectively.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all.
We're now ready for the first item, 3, regular item.
Good morning, Planning Commission. Mr. Chair, Ramir Fitzpatrick, Planning
Planning and Community Development. I'd like to introduce ID 17-3, Service Plan for the Rock Creek Metropolitan District. The summary of the review criteria, there are two sets of findings associated with a service plan. The first are required findings, and these statutory findings address determining whether there's sufficient and existing and projected need for the district, whether existing service in the area is inadequate for present and projected needs, and whether the district is capable of providing economical and sufficient service, and the financial ability of the district, the proposed district, to discharge the proposed indebtedness. Then there are a set of discretionary findings. And these include whether or not adequate service is or will not be available through other sources, whether the facilities and services provided by the proposed districts will be compatible with other surrounding service provider standards, whether or not the proposed district and service plan is in compliance with the master plan, compliance with water quality management plan, and whether the proposed service plan and district is in the best interest of the area to be served. The applicant, the property owner, is the Equity Group, and I apologize, I had Pat Hrabacek representing the property owner, but we do have Russ Dykstra here with Spencer Fain and Danny Mienka representing the Equity Group. Specifically, the request is for approval of a service plan in support of forming the Rock Creek Metropolitan District. The service plan includes a maximum debt authorization of $8 million, a maximum combined mill levy of 65 mills, which is comprised of 50 mills for the maximum residential debt mill levy, 35 mills for commercial mill levy, 10 mills for the maximum operations and maintenance mill levy, and 5 mills for special purposes, which include covenant enforcement and design review. At this time, I'm going to turn the floor over to the owner's consultants to give you an overview of the proposed service plan.
I think we have to stop for a second.
5 minutes.
5 minutes? We'll take a 5 minute break. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
It isn't you
working, so we can resume when everyone is ready.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. I'm Danny Mienka with the Equity Group, and I appreciate your time this morning. And let me first thank staff, county staff. We have a great county staff, and they always do a good job of communicating with the applicant and its consultants, and so I appreciate Ramirez's efforts on this application. A related company of ours, Colorado Springs Equities, owns real property along State Highway 115 in the Colorado Springs city limits and property within unincorporated El Paso County. The property owned by Colorado Springs Equities and located within the city limits of Colorado Springs was severed from access to Colorado Springs utilities infrastructure when Cheyenne Mountain State Park was established in 2000. In December of 2013, Colorado Springs Equities was granted approval for utility easements by the Colorado Wildlife Commission. Following 4 years of utility design and review by Colorado Springs Utilities and in coordination with the Division of Wildlife and State Parks personnel, both permanent and temporary construction easements have been executed, funded, and recorded as of a couple of weeks ago, allowing for the extension of water and wastewater services through Cheyenne Mountain State Park. So 13 years we've been at this. Given the property's location, and the lack of other CSU infrastructure in the area, Colorado Springs Equities will be required to run not one but two water lines in order to create a loop for redundancy and install a force main for wastewater over 4,000 linear feet. This disproportionate cost structure requires the financial support that's best afforded by a metropolitan district. So a little bit of background on the developments. In the city limit property, we have 14 and a half acres, and we have a plan to build 240 units of garden-style apartments. And so if you take Highway 115 south past Gate 1, which is Nelson, you go about two and a half miles, you get to Gate 5. That's Titus. That's the entrance to the golf course and the Evans Army Hospital. And across the street is this isolated 14 acres in the city limits. Very unique. But if you continue up the hill on 115, you get to the top. That's Rock Creek Mesa, loosely defined. It's Rock Creek Mesa. And just past that is Gate 6 into Fort Carson, and that's where Butts Army Airfield is located. We have plans for property that we own in unincorporated El Paso County on the Mesa, and it's called Pinions at Rock Creek, and it would be a single-family development. The formation of the Rock Creek Metropolitan District is in response to the high cost for this off-site infrastructure and will allow for the opportunity to deliver several opportunities for existing and prospective developments in the area. In addition to water and wastewater public improvements, the district will be utilized to deliver electric and natural gas infrastructure, roadway improvements, and public safety facilities like fire hydrants and pest control. Colorado Springs Utilities has actually requested that our company consider upsizing these utility mains before we install to allow for eventual distribution of water and possibly wastewater services for the benefit of properties located within Rock Creek Mesa. So in 2013, Rock Creek Mesa, the water district, Rock Creek Water District, literally the wells that serve their district ran dry. They began trucking water from fountain. So if you can imagine the expense and logistics and the vulnerability of their firefighting capabilities at a time of drought, you can understand why Colorado Springs Utilities would actually reach out to us to help solve what might be a problem in the future again. It's all about timing. We're in design. We'll ultimately install these utilities, and so we need to make a long-term decision, and Colorado Springs Utilities has asked us to participate in that process. So in addition to supporting the proposed development upon Colorado Springs Equities properties located, again, within the city limits and those located within unincorporated El Paso County, we may also be able to serve the extension of water and wastewater services to others. Colorado Springs Equities' properties are unable to, within the unincorporated area, are unable to be served by the existing water district, Rock Creek Mesa Water District, given their economic constraints and their inability to provide water taps. They simply just can't furnish any additional water within their area. The district and its service plan before you today, if approved, may provide an opportunity to deliver Rock Creek Mesa Water District with treated and reliable water source in the future. In 2013, as I said, the groundwater wells supplying this district nearly dried up and water was being trucked in. As a community, we all know how devastating the Waldo Canyon and Black Forest fires were and how areas along the foothills today remain vulnerable to the threats of wildfires. Currently, there are no fire hydrants in this area of the undeveloped portions of the land or the state park's southern boundary. Approval of this service plan will provide the most efficient opportunity to deliver a reliable supply of water and fire hydrants to both defend the Cheyenne Mountain State Park and the area residents within Rock Creek Mesa. The approval of this district will advance the opportunity to provide additional housing options for Fort Carson, Colorado Springs' largest employer. Gate 5 and Gate 6 are direct access points into Evans and Butts. Over 6,500 civilians work at Fort Carson. This is an area that's very close to the Broadmoor. The housing is expensive outside of these gates, and other options are limited. So there's an opportunity here to actually provide additional housing. This district will enable these accommodations for this important strategic employer. So I'd like to just quickly take you through a couple of slides to put in context that summary. So the first slide is just an artist rendering of the Sundance at Rock Creek, 240 units of Class A garden style apartments. So to give you a sense of the connection, the points of connection, we're going to pick up the water and tie in to the JL Ranch Heights Road just as far south as that road bends. And then we're going to take it not quite through this alignment. This was an earlier version of the alignment. We've worked with state parks to be conscious of some of their habitats.
Can you use the
pointer?
The mouse to...
I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. I'm getting this technology down.
If you could back up a little bit, then we can follow you better, I think.
So this would be the point of tie-in for the water and wastewater. That's JL Ranch Heights Road. This is their furthest-most parking lot, and this is the southernmost reach of those utilities. We're actually going to bring those utilities down along that parking lot. We're going to make a crossing, and then we're going to follow generally the highway. This was an earlier illustration, but I think it provides for you the context of what we're up against in terms of this off-site extension. It's considerable. There are no other Colorado Springs utilities any further south. This parcel of property that is within the city limits, it's owned by Colorado Springs Equities, is right here at Gate 5. This is housing for Fort Carson, the golf course, and off the photo is Evans Army Hospital. So looking at it from an aerial perspective and from the west looking east, we're looking at Gate 5, where Sundance at Rock Creek would be developed. The utilities would come through the state park. Then we have the potential to take those utilities up the hill and reach Rock Creek Mesa. So Rock Creek Mesa has a number of mobile homes, some frame homes. There's a mobile home park. And this mobile home park currently has its own wastewater treatment facility, which is essentially a big concrete drum. The waste comes in, it gets treated with chemicals, and then that effluent gets spilled off into the hillside. That's permitted by the state, but it's a pretty expensive piece of infrastructure, and it's had multiple violations by the state in terms of, as the environmental regulation is tightened up, the ability for this mobile home park to have kept up with those regulations has been difficult. So one of the discussions and considerations is allowing that mobile home park to tie into the wastewater that we would deliver. And then the water district up here, Rock Creek, Mesa, serves otherwise the existing improved properties. This is Gate 6, which is taking you right into Butts Army Airfield. Over $1 billion has been spent over the last couple of years to take care of the Apache Brigade that was brought in. And so the potential of this district is to create more housing opportunities for this employer. Now this is looking at the 14 and a half acres where the apartments would be built, and that is the southernmost piece of real estate in the city of Colorado Springs, separated by a state park. And then Fort Carson off to the right. And then we have a big topographical change as we come up the hill. And then this is Rock Creek Mesa. This is that treatment facility, the waste treatment facility for the mobile home park. That's a site plan for the apartments. Again, at Pine Oaks or Gate 5, it's Pine Oaks going to the west. This is an aerial view of the area that potentially can be served by the district that we have in front of you. So that's our proposed boundary. The properties that Colorado Springs Equities currently owns, or related companies of ours owns, are in red. And within that boundary area. And then that shows the potential for future inclusions. Currently, again, everything within inside that blue area is unable to be served by the current water district. There are no fire hydrants within that area of blue, nor are there any fire protection serving that state park or our Colorado Springs city limits property. This is a very preliminary utility service plan. It's how we would extend the water and wastewater to the Mesa, and then potentially distribute it We have not entered into discussions at this point with the Water District in terms of what they may or may not see as an opportunity, but we certainly will. There's a step-by-step process that we really need to go through, and this district's a building block. But we definitely see an opportunity to perhaps solve really long-term logistics, and they treat their water. So they take it out of the ground, and then they actually treat it, and it's expensive. To the extent that we can offset some of the infrastructure extension costs, they would be delivered reliable, treated, and uninterrupted Colorado Springs utilities water service. Great opportunity. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but before I do, again, utility infrastructure is needed in this part of our community. The applicants obtained exclusive easements through the Cheyenne Mountain State Park. This is something only our company can deliver at this point. The cost of these public improvements are very disproportionate to the land area that can be served with these utility extensions. And the purpose of this district is in alignment with the needs of those it will serve. And so we respectfully appreciate your consideration and seek your approval of our service plan. Thank you.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, just one question. When you guys come through the state park, this is just a sidebar, but did the state, is there any requirement to add additional trail systems or hydrants in the state park? Is that what you said?
During the negotiation with state parks, we agreed to provide them a fire hydrant, a natural gas connection at the archery range, which is right at Titus and Pine Oaks, but nothing within the park itself.
Nothing, just, okay, all right, thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Joya?
So I see a lot of, breakdown of how the various mills would be associated in this mill levy, potential mill levy, for a maximum authorization of $8 million. Once the construction, everything is done, and that debt has been paid off, is there an anticipation of bringing that down for the new homeowners, or is there going to be new ways to spend that money?
We only want to assess a mill levy for the period of time necessary to retire the indebtedness for the public improvements that we provide. After that, it would have no reason to continue once those obligations are satisfied.
Ms. Therese?
I just have a question concerning the mobile home park. That your metro district and the building of the houses and so forth would not impact on that park, would it?
No, we have no interest in affecting the viability of the park. We are interested in seeing a solution to the way they're treating their wastewater, because it's sort of coming down right. The park area. But otherwise, no, that mobile home park would continue to operate. We have no interest in it. We've had discussions with them about their ability to relieve themselves of this upkeep and operational piece of the wastewater by tying into our potential wastewater connection.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Curry.
Thank you. I have several questions. As you're well aware, I'm pretty skeptical about metropolitan districts in general, but I got to admit, in this case, I happen to agree that there's a need, lack of available services. So in this particular case, I think that's there. I have a number of other problems, though. One, I think we're required, and this may be something we can discuss before or after the staff presentation, I don't know, but there's an issue of getting the approval for the Metropolitan District in advance of getting the land use approvals. And I think we're normally supposed to have the land use approvals prior to getting the Metro District. The original application in August of 2017 said that we needed to get this done early in order to get to the November election, so we couldn't, there was no time to get the land use approvals. Now there's a year. So what is the justification for the need, and I think it's a requirement for this, to approve the district in advance of getting the land use approval?
Okay, I think it's an excellent question. And initially, we anticipated financing approval for the apartment development portion. And the financing approval is HUD 221 D4. And there's that's a HUD-insured multifamily loan. And it requires a very short window after approval to closing that loan. And that required that this district be in place timely, more so than the unincorporated real property portions. And the terms of the temporary construction easement with the state parks requires that I install the utilities between October and March. So there are some burrowing owls, and there's other species and habitats that have certain patterns that State Parks is very concerned about. And so they've given me a relatively short window to install the mains through the state park. So that was the impetus to get this approved timely. We've missed our deadline, and our HUD financing has slowed a little bit. In spite of that, for us to gin up the consultants and come in with a land use plan, not knowing whether or not we'd have a financing mechanism for the infrastructure in this particular case, would be almost irresponsible. I need to know if we're going to have a way to get this these long off-site extensions of utility mains to this area, and then be able to economically understand the capacity of that investment. That will drive the land use. The land use at the top, the densities may change considerably depending on the cost of the infrastructure. So it's a chicken or egg situation. Generally, I think you'd like to see the land use and then talk about the district. I think this is one of the unique circumstances where we can't even understand what the land use can look like until we understand if we can afford the infrastructure, which is a function of the district.
I'm still a little bit unconvinced, because you want to put the apartments in, you want to put the single family homes in, you've got a site plan for at least part of it, so you know at least part of what your land use is. I think we can talk more about that in the staff thing, because I think that may actually be a requirement to have that justification. Second thing is, I know we need to determine the ability to discharge a financial debt. And I'm hoping you can address this, because I look at the letter of intent, I look at your statement just now, talking about the uncertainty relative to densities, numbers, etc. So you have uncertainty with respect to what you're going to be able to recoup relative to the build out. And the letter of intent very explicitly says that you have uncertainty relative to non-direct construction related costs, such as dry utilities, etc., which will, I think the letter of intent said, significantly increase the costs. And I'm looking at the financial stuff. Can you address better, in light of those uncertainties? You don't have a land use, you don't know what the densities are going to be, and you don't know what the final costs are going to be. Can you better address the ability of the district to discharge the financial indebtedness?
The district will be able to discharge the amount of indebtedness that it can economically justify after we understand the bigger picture. And so, for example, if the water district that's up there had interest in this reliable water supply, that would change the economics considerably, and that might enable more capacity within the district. So we can't have that conversation, though, with the water district until we know that we have the ability through this district to deliver the water. What we want to try to do incrementally is provide certainty in the process. And if we had an approved service plan with a maximum mill levy, we know what our guardrails are. And that helps us then take the next incremental step, which is to then look at the stakeholders in the area and try to understand the needs and how that relates to the economics of this. and continue to drive to ultimately what can or can't be done. But there's a finite amount of money. It has to pencil, and it's going to be expensive, and there are no other alternatives. So this is one of those situations where we need you to help us start to create certainty through the service plan approval, and then I think that allows us to get to a point where we can answer some of the questions.
Okay. My only challenge is, as I look at the staff report, I look at the LOI and the language in it. For example, it says a district would have the ability to discharge the indebtedness if the development proceeds as projected. Big if, as you just mentioned, which is a concern relative to making that finding. And then the second thing is that statement that the total project improvement cost will be significantly higher and will materially increase the overall costs. And so I'm looking at this combination of uncertainty and the likelihood of increased costs, and I just have some concerns. My next question deals with policy compliance and county policy 14.1.3, which is on page, I think, 109 of our staff of the package today. Quote, requires conservative phasing of infrastructure construction during the initial phases of the development. When I looked at the construction plan here, it called for 222 of your 240 units in the very first year. When I consider the water and all of the other improvements that you've talked about putting in, 222 houses in the first year does not sound like conservative phasing, which is a requirement of the policy. Can you address that?
So I think it's 132 as opposed to 232. There's the project is 240 units. HUD asked us to consider phasing it after our initial meeting with them, and so we proposed a phasing of 132 and then 108 units in a second phase. But nonetheless, none of them can be developed without the utility main extensions through the state park. So conservatively, our intent would be to bring the mains through the state park to the apartment development site and develop that project. The second phase of apartments can be built immediately on the coattails of the first phase, subject to occupancy levels, which we are comfortable will achieve. Then, contemporaneously with that process, we'd be meeting with the water district and other property owners on the Mesa to understand the economic potential of actually making those extensions up the hill. It's a sort of a separate phase and an important step for us to understand, and our conservative tact will be to do the first more closely located parcel development and then be looking at the second on the Mesa.
Okay, so I'm looking at the report, and it's in the section on financial ability to discharge the indebtedness, and it says, and I quote specifically, 222 units are proposed in year 2019. 90 in 2020, 31 in 2021, and 108 in 2022. It's not clear which of those are the single family or which of those are the multifamily, but the bottom line is within the first couple of years of this 30-year indebtedness, we're talking about building well over half, plus all of the infrastructure. And as I said, the policy requires conservative phasing. I recognize there's a balance you have to reach, but it doesn't sound like that's conservative. It sounds like it's actually pretty aggressive. Is it conservative by construction standards? I mean, I'm just reading by, I mean, it's a quote from the policy. I'm not
sure. The task of extending these utilities is pretty daunting. It's expensive.
And so
it has to get from one point to another, and there's really no way to do it in a conservative way less other than what we have sort of outlined. And so I think within the context of what we're trying to do, we're doing it as conservatively as we can.
Okay.
Let me respond that way.
All right. Thank you. Next question is relative to the nonprofit. The letter of intent, the service plan envisions, there it says there's a may envision creating a separate nonprofit corporation. quote, "for the purposes of providing design, financing, and construction of municipal infrastructure." But the LOI says that Rock Creek District shall develop and finance its own property. It's a little bit mitigated by conditions 10 and 11, talk about not being able to actually incur the debt until that, you know, that happens. But so I'm trying to understand the distinction here between the fact that Rock Creek is going to do all of its own work in the LOI and the fact that you envision this nonprofit. Can you discuss what might cause you to create that nonprofit? And then if you do, is that going to have the authority to impose costs and fees related to that nonprofit? Or are those actually included within the 65 mils?
I'm going to allow my attorney to address that.
Okay.
I knew he was going to pass to me on that one. The language regarding...
Excuse me. Have you had a chance to sign in?
Yes.
And state your name for the record.
Russ Dykstra from Spencer Fain, representing the applicant. And Mr. Fitzpatrick and I had a discussion about this as well. That language regarding the nonprofit entity formation is a carryover in the county's form of service plan. We left it in there under the premise that we would rather not mess with the county's template unless we absolutely had to. The basis for that nonprofit, I don't know if you're familiar, if the commissioners have come across an application with a public improvement fee, a PIF. Back about 12 years ago when PIFs first came on the scene, the IRS said that the districts could not be the direct recipient of public improvement fees. So in response to that, and that's about the time this model was developed with the county, provisions were made that a nonprofit entity could be created to be the recipient of those PIF revenues and then transfer them to the district. In this case, as a complete all-residential development, that has no applicability whatsoever because we are not going to be doing public improvement fees whatsoever. So I guess for the record, I can state with absolute certainty we will not be using a nonprofit entity.
Okay, but the authority exists to do it. And if it did, it could impose PIFs over and above the mill levy?
No.
If it were to occur, that would be incorporated within the mill levy.
It has nothing to do with the mill levy. The PIFs are a retail add-on sales tax. And we won't have any retail at all in this development, so it has no applicability. And I know Ramir and I have talked about possibly updating that service plan model to address that issue as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
One last question, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
I'm trying to figure out, there's a little bit of confusion for me in the application relative to the districts and the configurations. On page 111, I think it's now 113 or 114 in the package, section 11 says, and I quote, "the proposed service plan does not propose a multiple district configuration." When I look later in the package, it's on page, I think, 137 or 138 of our package, paragraph 9 says, "the covenant enforcement and design review powers will be coordinated through district number one on behalf of all of the district." So that sounds like a sub-district is being considered. Can you discuss whether there are going to be one, multiple, other? What is the, it sounds like an inconsistency.
Let me first say we don't have plans for additional districts at this point, but there is a bit of a move on HOA management or covenant enforcement to move to have the district engage a third party to oversee and enforce the equivalent of HOA policies, rules, covenants, conditions. So I don't know if Russ can add to it, but perhaps the service plan is addressing the ability to engage a third party on behalf of the district.
Well, it does that with the 5 mil levy, which is allowable for the HOA enforcement. I get that that's going to do that, but that would be on the part of the district. My question deals not with the HOA or the covenant, it's just that's the context in which the reference to a district number one is made. whereas elsewhere in the package, it says this is a full-service district, and we don't envision multiple districts. And I'm just trying to figure out, is it going to be multiple districts or one district?
I think at this point, it's one district.
And what can explain the reference to a district number one?
Russ Dykstra again, for the record. That inconsistency, again, is a carryover of the model service plan, that it has that reference in there in the case of multiple districts. As Mr. Mienka pointed out, we are only asking for one district in this situation. We are more than happy to revise that section to take out that reference to district number one.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Ms. Dillon? I have a few questions. I have a bigger perspective kind of question. You're going to get water and sewage services from Colorado Springs Utilities.
Yes.
Are you going to be are you getting those at wholesale and then you retail them out to the individual properties? In other words, will those properties have a CSU bill, or will it have a Metro District bill?
Okay, good question. So the utility mains that come through the state park, once installed, inspected, and after the warranty period, will be a property of Colorado Springs Utilities. Once they reach through our site and the utility extensions are brought to the county line, so the literally the boundary of the city and a county line, there'll be a meter. And everything to the north, or the apartment development, will be tariffed at the CSU's regular rates. So our apartment development will be charged typical Colorado Springs Utilities rates for that sort of development. At the meter, any water that is extended onto the Mesa, or perhaps to this other water district, will be out of boundary, or 1.5 times their normal rate. That's the CSU policy. And so the district won't be in the business of marking up the water in any event. It'll just be whatever CSU reads as a meter. There'll be a bill coming to the district at 1.5 times their normal rate for the water that goes south of the county line.
Okay. So you're providing all the utility infrastructure from through the park onto your property, in essence, and you're not being able to make anything on that, other than the fact that all of a sudden land that's kind of dead is now useful.
Can come to life.
Yeah.
And there'll have to be an economic recovery from properties that tie in to this infrastructure for it to make sense for me to extend at the top of the hill. Certainly, properties that I own on the Mesa can't develop without the utilities, but probably can't support the utility extensions in and of themselves. So the idea would be to try to find a larger pie at the top of the Mesa to balance out those infrastructure costs.
But just as a hypothetical, you could provide sewer service and water service to the mobile home park. That might be nice for them, but if you're not marking it up, it doesn't make any sense for you to do so.
So the mobile home park is a customer of Rock Creek Water District, and so we wouldn't get in the middle of that agreement. They have an agreement. They have taps from the other water district. We would only, our discussions have been limited to the mobile home park to wastewater services only. They have their own independent wastewater facilities now. We're proposing that they get up to today's technology and come into our infrastructure. But as far as water, no, they're a customer of the other district. So while the water would be available for them, it would need to go through the district.
Okay. Let me back my question up a little bit. So let's assume that they're agreeable in terms of sewer. And what is your agreement with Colorado Springs Utilities in terms of them handling your sewer?
They want the sewer.
They want it.
They want that sewer so they can put it back into the system, and they get credit for those effluents. It's actually valuable to CSU.
And do they pay you for that water?
No, they'll charge us actually to process that wastewater. But it's still important that they're willing to take it because the mobile home park is out of boundary.
Oh, yeah.
But CSU has, I don't pretend to know enough about it or want to know much more about it, but they have an interest in those effluents. And I think it has to do with, you know, water coming out of waterways and reintroducing wastewater into the ground.
I think they just get a sparkle in their eye whenever they see water.
Water and wastewater, they smile. They do. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you talked about the existing water,
Rock Creek Water District.
Rock Creek Water, and they're getting water trucked into them now.
Actually, their water supply is a series of John May wells. John May created the Bug Museum on 115, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
And he owns much of the property to the south, and he has some wells in a box canyon. And those, they have an agreement with the water district to supply water to that water district from those wells. The water district then treats that water. There's a water tower. They pump the water into the water tower. It's a reservoir. And then they supply the mobile home park and a number of other smaller housing developments with on the Rock Creek Mesa. So their water comes from wells. But in 13, those wells went dry, or practically dry. And so they had residents, they had customers, they had to supply the water. And so they apparently negotiated to buy water, I'm told, from Fountain. I haven't independently verified it, but Fountain Water Company or Water District, and they trucked the water up to their water tower.
No.
To stay active and to be able to provide water for their customers.
Now, if the Metropolitan District has water, which you will have, would you enter into agreements to sell them that water?
I am motivated to work with that water district to supply them with this reliable water source because I think it does, in a sense, subsidize the infrastructure cost. If they can use the CSU supplied water, they would actually pay whatever. There'd probably be, I envision, a second meter at the point where the water district would receive the water, and
sure,
they would pay either the district or Colorado Springs Utilities for what they consume at the out of boundary rates.
Okay. Now, I noticed on the big map you had the blue area, but you had a lot of things not included in that blue area. Why wouldn't the areas that are not included in that blue area be interested in getting water and sewer service?
Oh, I think they will. We just haven't approached them yet.
Okay.
Because we need this district to be formed so that we can have intelligent conversations and be able to make fair representations to what we can and can't do.
But if, assuming this metro district is approved, and there was later an interest, the district could do that kind of thing. It'd be authorized to do it.
Yes.
Okay. Those are my kinds of questions. Thank you. Sorry about this.
Excuse me for the interruption. We do have representatives from the Rock Creek Mesa Water District present,
okay,
with us, and so I did want to bring that up because we're discussing water procedurally. The applicant goes to their presentation, and staff goes to their presentation, and then those who want to speak in favor or against are given an opportunity. But since we're discussing those water issues now, it may be better for the process once you're finished with the applicant to allow the water district to speak for themselves, because obviously Mr. Mienko was very careful to not speak definitively in some areas regarding the district. They may be able to answer some of the questions that you may have while the topic is still fresh.
Sure. We just get busy with our questions, and I think maybe it'd be a good time for you to finish whatever you want to do and then turn it over to staff, because I have a feeling they have a nice presentation to make.
I've concluded my comments.
Okay. Ramir?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
I typically don't like to interject, but I have a question, and it's on water, and was just wanting to clarify, Mr. Mienka, if I'm following correctly. CSU is only going to be providing water to the apartments. on the property that is within the City of Colorado Springs boundaries. Is that correct?
They are. I will be a customer of Colorado Springs Utilities. They've asked for the ability to have us upsize the line so that that water could get extended to the county line and then metered. So they would still be the provider of the water at that point and beyond. But they would, it would not be in their system. The infrastructure wouldn't be in their system, and the rate would be at 1.5 times.
Follow on. So as you develop the rest of your development, will the water supply for the remainder of the development come from wells or from further agreements with CSU to extend service?
It'll come from that same water source that supplies the city limit parcel. It'll be the same source. It would not be wells.
So it'll be CSU?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, you're welcome. Are we all ready?
Are you ready for a break?
We can take a break, 5-minute break.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
And I don't know if you can answer this for me, Mr. Ranica. You're talking about this as providing housing for Fort Carson and the soldiers there. Can you give me some idea of what the prices will be for the single-family homes or the garden apartments that would be attractive to Fort Carson soldiers?
Sure. It's premature to be able to represent what the quality or price point of housing would be on the Mesa. But given the character of the area, which is a mix of smaller homes, cabins, mobile homes, you know, it's likely going to be in the affordable entry, maybe first-time move-up category, and I don't see anything beyond that in terms of design, just because of the character of the neighborhood around it. The apartments would be at market rate, so whatever the market would bear, and they with today's construction costs, they would be at, you know, the upper levels of what multifamily housing typically would rent for.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just one quick comment on that. In the section on financial, on the ability to discharge the financial indebtedness, there are some estimates and assumptions relative to the valuations of the properties that might address Ms. Teresa's questions to some extent. It's in the financial section of the service plan.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other reason for me to delay the break? 5 minutes. Concession.
So is this the housing you were talking about? The golf course.
Yeah.
This guy's right on the road. Then there's the archery range you were talking about.
You are up, sir.
Again, good morning, Planning Commission. Mr. Chair, Ramirez Fitzpatrick, Planning and Community Development. And I believe many of the major issues that staff identified in the report and in the presentation have been addressed, specifically the lack of underlying land use approvals. We heard from the applicant that really in this case, the ability to provide infrastructure is going to drive the land use because of the cost and the distance to provide those utilities. There is a condition of approval that restricts the issuance of debt prior to obtaining those underlying land use approvals. I believe we heard from the applicant that there is some sort of pre-land use approval off-site construction work that needs to occur, and so I think that may be suitable justification to meet that criteria. There were some question and discussion about the relationship between the two districts. As I stated earlier, representatives from the Rock Creek Mesa Water District are present to be able to answer any questions or express any concerns that they may have with the introduction of an additional district. There was not any discussion about the annexation potential. Staff did notify the city of Colorado Springs regarding the annexation and regarding this application, and they have not responded nor expressed any desire to staff's knowledge that they're interested in annexation. It may be due to the increased utility rates that they would see as a result of the success of this district. Again, the issue of the mill levies being set at the maximum limits was discussed, and it was stated that that those are the boundaries that they that the applicant would that the district would be able to work within, and so it does not mean that they would initially establish a mill levy at the highest level. What I would like to do is just make some statements for the record regarding staff's review and analysis of how the applicant has met the required findings, specifically sufficient and existing and projected need for organized service in the area. As was discussed in the staff report and in the hearing, the applicant intends to provide a financing mechanism to support, to provide the necessary infrastructure to support development in the area. There's no direct need to create an entity to issue debt in advance of land use approvals. However, there is a condition of approval that restricts the district's ability to issue debt prior to obtaining those approvals. Regarding existing service in the area, that there is inadequate service for present and projected needs. I believe that the applicant has discussed that in detail, and staff recommends or concurs with that assessment. Whether or not the proposed district is capable of providing economical and sufficient service to the area within its proposed boundaries, and it was noted that the financial analysis is not based on hard numbers but based on the projected numbers and other conditions of approval. Staff recommends that this condition can be met, or this finding may be made, and that the district is able to provide economical and sufficient service within its proposed boundaries, and that the area to be included within the district has or will have the financial ability to discharge the proposed indebtedness on a reasonable basis. And I believe that there was some discussion regarding that. Staff recommends that based on the financial analysis summaries and that were submitted with the service plan and in support of the service plan, that the projected numbers appear to work. Again, it'll be a function of what the market actually responds to that will determine how much debt the district is able to incur and how much how they'll be able to satisfy that debt. There are some discretionary findings, specifically whether or not there's adequate service being provided by other sources, the compatibility of the facility service standards, compliance with the master plan, compliance with any water quality management plan, and whether it's the district is in the best interest of the area to be served. Staff recommends that there is general consistency with these criteria and findings as discussed in the staff report and as discussed with the applicant. Are there any questions that you would have of staff? As many of this is just a repeat of either discussion that has already occurred or things that were in the staff report. I think the most important thing is to state for the record that staff recommends that those findings, both required and discretionary, may be made.
I have a question. Sure. We had discussion of two different mill rates, one for residential and one for commercial.
Correct.
So if there were commercial, where would that go?
So the parcel that is in the city of Colorado Springs is zoned a commercial zoning district. That commercial zoning district allows for multifamily development.
Okay.
And so that's why that's would be assessed at a commercial rate, because the property is zoned commercial versus the residential.
All right.
That's in the unincorporated portion of the county.
The reason I asked that question, since Colorado Springs is primarily funded by sales tax, normally if you put something up that will have somebody collecting sales tax, Colorado Springs is eager to annex them. So it doesn't apply in this case. Any other questions for him? Thank you.
Thank you.
At this point, at what point will we hear from the Rock Creek Mesa Water District?
I guess
at your discretion.
All right. Would you like to address the Planning Commission? Now would be a good time to do it. Be sure and sign in and state your name for the record so that everybody's happy.
Thank you, Planning Commission Chair. My name is Ryan Farr. I'm an attorney with Munson, Cummins, and Shoet. I'm a district, or the district's attorney. This is Kathy Olson. She is the manager of Rock Creek Mesa Water District.
Welcome, both.
Thank you.
We appreciate your commission's time on this. Rock Creek Mesa Water District is, Mr. Mianka did a fairly decent job explaining how it works. We came here today, we're not in opposing, we're not opposing the formation of the Metro District. Our position was basically from our district's point of view, we didn't want to see any duplicity in services, areas that we're providing water for, and we just provide water service, not wastewater, no other of the Metro District, no electrical, no gas, no infrastructure, it's water service. Our water service is provided with an agreement with John May Wells. It's a property to the south. It's where the Bug Museum is. This has been going on since 1963. Rock Creek Mesa Water District has had a contract with John May Wells. For the most part, John May Wells provides the legal or the physical supply of water. Legal supply is done through augmentation through organizations like the CWPDA, buying shares of Fountain Mutual Irrigation Company and so forth, and that provides the legal right to use the water that is actually coming from John May property and then transported and delivered to the Rock Creek Mesa Water District property. The way it works is there's kind of two ways that Rock Creek Mesa Water District actually does water. One is through a ditch system, basically what would be considered just a diversion from Rock Creek. That actually goes into five different reservoirs that are located on John May Wells' property. There it's stored until needed. If it's needed, it goes to a treatment facility owned by Rock Creek Mesa Water District, where it's treated, piped up to service tanks to be able to supply all the lines within Rock Creek Mesa Water District. There's another well, there's a direct well that actually goes straight from the well to Rock Creek Mesa Water District that undergoes minor treatment, not nearly as much treatment as the water that's held in the reservoirs. That's them utilizing the system as well, too. That's been going on since 1963. There have been times in 2013 where trucking was required because both Rock Creek and the well that's actually in the alluvium of Rock Creek did go dry. Trucking was required. But for the most part, the wells and the reservoirs are a sufficient supply of water for Rock Creek Mesa Water District. And it's a sufficient supply for Rock Creek Mesa Water District as it is now. Rock Creek cannot move, basically increase its service capacity. So the areas proposed by Mr. Mianka to be supplied by Rock Creek Metro District, Rock Creek Mesa District has no, Water District has no desire to supply water to them. It really can't. At this point, we're kind of at our contractual limits. So for the most part, today was coming in to just kind of make sure, again, no duplicity was occurring. If I could show the commission kind of a Rock Creek Mesa Water District's mapping, if the camera's still working. Is that possible?
Yes.
Okay.
And if I could just add one thing about the
Certainly.
CWPDA. We, as a district, are not affiliated with CWPDA. John May Wells is. And CWPDA is actually a co-op, and they actually distribute how many acre allotment that they can give to their co-op members each year. So
our contract is a 100-year contract with John May Wells, and in that contract, we get 3/4 of any allotted water that John May gets from CWPDA each year. So 3/4 of that water can be a lot for us during the year, hundreds of acres of feed. It can be 30-some acres of, you know, acre feet a year. So that's why we have limitations since the early 2000s when John May Wells actually joined that co-op. Until then, we had unlimited water. So just as a background, that's what limits us to being able to provide water to any additional houses or buildings or things like that.
And what I've put up here, this is a portion, this is kind of a bigger map, but this is more of kind of in question. You can see up here, you can see up here, this is the trailer park that was shown in Mr. Mianka's mapping. And then this is Pawnee Road as it comes off 115. And to just kind of highlight, the proposed areas in red for the new metro district are, for the most part, all outside of Rock Creek Mesa Water District service area. The gray area that you see here is the excluded property from Rock Creek Mesa Water District. And it's almost completely commensurate with what you see as far as the proposed red area. We did just, during the break, speak with Mr. Dykstra and Mr. Mianka regarding really only one spot. It's this little square right here. This was Phyllis Gavin's property, and it was actually included into the district in 2011. And as you can see by the drawing here, there's a hydrant and actually service lines going to that property. It seemed like there might be a confusion between what the assessor believes is in the district and what is in the district, as Mr. Dykstra and Mr. Mianka were told that that wasn't actually part of Rock Creek Mesa Water District. So that would act at this time be the only overlying district where Rock Creek Mesa Water District would take issue with service being provided, at least water service being provided to it as a duplicitous. But the rest of the area is outside Rock Creek Mesa Water District. This map does show, just to kind of provide the commission with a little bit more information, kind of shows this is the John May Well property. And it shows the reservoirs that are utilized both by John May Wells for his campground and then also for storage for Rock Creek Mesa Water District water supply. And then over here is a little off the map, is the line that actually comes in from the well itself. Rock Creek Mesa Water District does have service lines though, and this is kind of in regards to the blue areas. This would be a territory that would be included later on through another inclusion process. But just for the record, does have some service lines that are actually included in that blue area that are being served right now. There are six hydrants, two hydrants for the trailer park, Cheyenne Mountain Estates, but there's also five hydrants throughout the kind of lower portion where we can't provide fire service, and then there are also water lines as well. So at this point, Rock Creek Mesa Water District does not have any objection to the Metro District's creation and formation. Just kind of looking at our own territory as far as what's already been done and requesting to not have duplicitous services.
Okay, any questions? Thank you very much.
Right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this point in time, is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak in favor of this action? Anybody? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Planning Commission. In light of what was just said by the Water District, we do feel it's appropriate that before we head to the County Commissioners for final approval, that we will take that parcel that he was referring to out of the legal description for our district. Our intent is not to overlap or be duplicitous at all, so we will just make that small revision. It was, as stated, a contradiction between the assessor as to what was or was not in, so we will make that correction.
I'm glad we provide an opportunity for that discovery.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is there anyone in the audience in opposition? Hearing none, would you like to make any rebuttal comments? I don't know of anything to rebut.
No, Chair. I'm glad to hear the cooperation from the Water District, and we look forward to furthering dialogue with the Water District in a manner that's beneficial for the community at large. Thank you
very much. That concludes the public hearing phase, and it goes to the commissioners. Do you have any discussion you want to make?
I do have one question, Mr. Chair, and this, I guess, is more a question for our legal counsel. In the when one goes to make a motion on this, is there anything that needs to be included? We have a very long paragraph on the water sufficiency. Do we need to say anything about that? Because that's the whole point, is to provide the water sufficiency, isn't it?
You would not be making a sufficiency statement on this. Point of education. Water sufficiency is tied to subdivision. So your special district is a separate land use action that you're taking, so you don't have to do that.
That's what I thought, but I wanted to clarify and make sure. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Comments? Yes.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Thank you. When I started, I had like five concerns. All have been satisfied except for one. And I appreciate the applicant's responses. So as I said before, you know, I look at our requirements, and that's the mandatory requirements include whether there's a need and whether existing services are adequate or inadequate, and whether or not the applicant would be capable of providing those. And I'm satisfied on all three of those criteria. I'm satisfied on all the discretionary criteria. I had concerns about the conservative phasing. I'm satisfied on that based on the answers. I appreciate that. I had concerns about the nonprofit provision. I'm satisfied on that. I had concerns about the need to justify in advance of land use approvals. That's actually just a recommendation, and there are conditions in there, and I'm satisfied on those. The one that I'm failing is a mandatory condition, and that's the ability of the district to discharge its financial indebtedness. And the reason I'm not able to find that personally is that there are simply too many uncertainties. The LOI discusses the fact that certain things will, not may, raise the costs, and somewhat substantially, that the ability is there to discharge the debt if the construction proceeds as planned, and there are a lot of risks there. And by the applicant's own admission, a great number of uncertainties relative to land use and the ability to get certain things, and the chicken and egg approach that legitimately accompany this application. The challenge is that with all that chicken and egg and all that uncertainty, I can't find personally satisfaction that the district could in fact discharge that debt. And so because I can't find for that mandatory criterion, that is the only one. I recognize it's just one of many criteria, but I will admit, you know, the testimony changed my mind in a number of areas, but I'm still not convinced on that. And to me, that's a mandatory criterion. So unless I'm subsequently convinced that those uncertainties don't put enough doubt that we actually can make that finding, I'm going to be unable to vote for it because I can't make that one mandatory finding. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ms. Therese.
I also have that same concern, Mr. Curry, and I concur with your comments. That's just all.
Mr. Joy.
I definitely appreciate my colleague's comments on this, and the concern is real. I understand that. I do not have the same concern, because I believe that, I mean, first of all, the applicant is going to need to secure the financing for it, and anyone who's going to be lending them money is going to be addressing those concerns. That is the risk that the lender is taking when they lend the money, and then the mill levy will be used to repay that that borrowed money. If it doesn't all go through, the lender who's taking the risk on lending the money and the applicant will be the ones who are suffering for it, not the people who are then not coming into the district if it doesn't go through or eventually does go through. We have a maximum debt that can be financed here. We know those numbers. We know for the people who are buying the property what they're going to be carrying, and I think that is the important part for us, not the risk to the lender who decides yay or nay on lending the money. So.
Any other comments?
When just
comments
one,
have been done. One thing I don't want to do is get a debate going.
No, not trying to get a debate. Yeah. Just trying to make sure that okay. We have all the criteria here. I don't know if it's a debate, but just wanted to comment on where the burden lies. And we've had a previous metro district where I went through the math and went through the spreadsheets, and very clearly it looked to me like they couldn't discharge the debt. Sure enough. It wasn't very long later that they came back to us and wanted to increase the burden on the owners, not the lender and not the developer. So I just to clarify, that burden is not necessarily on the developer or the lender. It may well, in fact, be on the purchasers who are already paying their $2,500 development fee and the mill levies.
Ms. Dillon.
Never mind.
Okay. I'd like to make couple comments. The risk issue I think is that we want to protect the county from getting a failed district. All right. I don't consider that it's my job to protect the developer from their investment.
Sure.
They're in the business of making these decisions, and having been in owning real estate and doing things and commercial and residential and all that kind of stuff, a lot of times it's not a sure thing, and sometimes you're working your butt off to try to make it work. But if we don't have people who are willing to do that, we don't get things done in our county.
Right.
And we aren't able to provide the housing and commercial services that people need and want. So the county doesn't develop, thank God. So private parties do. And in order for us to grow a community that is successful and thriving and is economic, positive and causes people to want to come here and be part of the community, we need our private investors. So I don't like to clip their wings or anything else, although we do want to make sure that we're making reasonable recommendations to protect the county from having to bail out a district. So that's just, I wanted to make those comments.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I agree with you on that. Through all the years I've been on the Planning Commission, it's always been that the financial viability of a project was not our responsibility. And so I agree 100% that this, we protect the county, but we're not protecting developers or homeowners or anything like that.
Thank you. Any other comments? If hearing none, I'm one ready to hear a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Joy.
As regards regular item number 3, ID 17-003, the Rock Creek Metropolitan District Special District Service Plan, I move for approval under the new resolution, page 37, with 11 conditions, 2 notations.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Ms. Dillon, is a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I will go ahead and go through the roll. Mr. Gioia?
Aye.
Mr. Creeley?
Aye.
Mr. Curry?
No.
Mr. Maston?
Aye.
Ms. Therese?
No.
Ms. Dillon?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. The motion is approved. 5 ayes and 2 nays. Thank you very much, and good luck on this project. When will we have any more meetings this year?
Six days before.
On the 19th.
There will be a meeting on December 19th. There will be two items, one consent, final plat, and one regular item, code amendments for
so
vehicles.
December 19th will be a meeting?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. We are adjourned.